Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Pedale. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef Ben Simcha, Sheniftar B'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim. Today's daf is being studied Le'alun Ishmat, Morenu V'Rabenu Hakam Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem V'Gan Eden. Amen. We are starting on Daf Pe Dalid, actually Pe Gimal, on the bottom line, Amar Rava. Just to review, our Gemara yesterday taught us in the Mishnah, how do we know that a sefina, a boat, is tehora, that a boat is not subject to the laws of tum'ah. So the Mishnah quoted a pasuk in Mishle, derech oniya belev yam, which is the way of a boat to be in the heart of the sea. And the Gemara said, just like the sea or the ocean is not mekabel tum'ah, so to a boat is not mekabel tuma as well. Then the Gemara brought a different reason. The Gemara said that we learn it dome lesak, which means the Torah comes and tells us that certain items are mekabel tuma. For example, wooden vessels, vessels that are made out of sak, vessels that are made out of leather. And the Torah tells us that for these things to become tameh, first of all, they have to have a receptacle to them, and they have to be able to be carried. Maleh v'rekam. Not only when they're empty, but also when they're laden, they have to be able to be carried. So therefore the Gemara says, a boat is not able to be carried when it has all its merchandise on it. It's very heavy. So therefore that would be another reason why let's say, wooden boat would not receive tum'ah. Of course, that would mean that if you had, let's say, a small boat or a narrow boat, like we learned, that you are able to lift it up, so then according to that reason, it would be susceptible to tum'ah. Whereas according to the reason of derech oniya belev yam, I don't care what the size of the boat is, even if it's carryable, but bottom line, since it's in the water, and the water is not mekabel tum'ah, that derasha would include all boats. The derasha from Sak includes only boats that you would not be able to lift. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, what if the boat or the wooden vessel is so heavy that it can only be carried or moved by animals, by oxen? Is that still considered being able to be carried? Or do we say no? When we say it has to be able to be carried, it means only by human beings. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Ula Hananya, according to Hananya, Hananya was the opinion that said that the boat is able to be carried, if it's full, it's going to be Teme'ah. But he was the one that learned from Sak, that was Hananya. Therefore he said, if a boat is able to be carried, therefore it's Dome Lesak, and therefore it's going to receive Tum'ah. So it's according to Hananya, Tiltur Al Yedesh Shevarim, that if the boat can be carried not only by human beings, but even if it's that heavy, the only way that you can transport the boat is through oxen, shivarim, still that's considered metaltel rekamu maleh, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to tum'ah. Now the Tosafot points out that this is not only going according to Hananya, which means the Chachamim that argued on Hananya will also agree, not by a boat, which means by a boat we have a special Gezerat HaKatuv that tells us, Derech Oniya Belev Yam, that no matter what the scenario is, a boat is always Tehora. However, the rabbis will agree, let's say, by another big wooden vessel, where you don't have the Gezerat HaKatuv of Derech Oniya Belev Yam, where it's very heavy, where it can only be moved by oxen, they'll agree to this opinion and say also, it will be Mekabel Tumah. So when the Gemara says Lehananya, it's not Tlav Davka Hananya. It could even be Shitat Achamim, not by a boat. Okay, that's the Tosafot. In any event, the Gemara says, how do we know that something that's very heavy, that can only be pulled or moved by animals, that's still considered susceptible to Tumah? Ditnan. Because we have a Mishnah.
The Mishnah is in Masechet Kelim. Shalosh agalot hen. There are three different types of wagons. Okay, there's three different wagons, and each one is susceptible to a different type of tum'ah, and some are not susceptible at all. It depends how they're fashioned. So the Gemara says, Asuya ke katidra teme'a midras. If the wagon is made like a katidra, which literally means like a chair, meaning it has, let's say, three walls, and one side of it is opened, and therefore person can sit on the actual wagon itself, is opening for him to sit, so it's made like a chair. That she says, kiketid on the third line, kitsara, short, umukefet mishalos sedadim, right? It's surrounded by three sides, so there's the opening side where he's able to insert himself and sit, tema midras. So it's going to be subject to midras tum'ah. Now midras tum'ah, we learned many times, would be, let's say, by a zav or a nida, that if they would sit on the item, since it's designated for sitting, so therefore it would be susceptible to zav, which is, it can become an av hatum'ah. That's midrashi. Teme'a midras, third line, shilishiva miyuhedeti, right? Because it's designated for sitting. Now we know the rule to be metameh midras, it's not just enough if a lady or a man who's a zav sits on it. That does not make midras. It has to be an item that is actually designated for sitting, like a mitah or a kiseh. In this case, this type of agala is also a type of item that was designated for sitting. Therefore, it's subject to tumah of midras. That's the first case. Kimitah, if you have a certain wagon that's shaped like a bed, teme'ah, teme'ah mit. So then already it's susceptible to the tumah of corpse tumah. Now what does it mean, like a type of a bed? So that she tells us that it's talking about a way, it looks like a bed, but it's an area where you store things, which means you're able to place, let's say, stuff on this item or under this item and transport it. So that she says, teme'ah, let's read kimita, fourth line, she aruka, right? It's long like a bed. Umitahtea, I just want to read that right text over there. Mekabelet kelim. It's able to receive kelim. They amend that in Rashi. They add the word kelim, which is it's able to accept vessels, which is it's an area that can hold things. Kemitas shel or she'en bashum nekev, like the leather beds that they would have, where let's say they would put a piece of leather over the wood, and therefore it would able to carry things, no holes, so it's able to hold things. It's like a receptacle. That she says teme'ah tum'at mit, kelomar mekabelet sh'ar tum'ot kulan. Which is when it says that it receives corpse tum'ah, it doesn't mean only corpse tum'ah. It means it receives any tum'ah except tum'at midras. Since this item is not designated for sitting on, it's really an item to transport things. People do not sit on it, so therefore will not be subject to the tumah of midras. So therefore the Gemara says it will be subject to every other tumah but midras. So then she's just going to tell us, why then did it say only tumah mid? It should say every tumah. So it's just comparing it to midras, because there's two tumot that would make somebody an abba tumah. Tumah mid makes Abba Tum'ah, and Midras makes Abba Tum'ah. So it's saying, it doesn't have the Abba Tum'ah of Midras, but it has the Abba Tum'ah of Mit. But it also has all the other Tum'ot that it will be susceptible to do. So that's the second item. The second item is a Mitah. It holds as a receptacle, it's able to hold things. Since it's not designated for sitting, it's not Tameh Midras, but it'll be Tameh Mit, and all the other types of Tum'ot. Third item, shel abanim teora miklum. If this item over here, let's say this agada, is made specifically to carry rocks, these are heavy items, so the Gemara says it's going to be teora from everything, not susceptible at all. Why? So that she tells us, ena mekabelet shum tumah.
לפי שפירוצם מתחתיה נקבים גדולים ולא כליהו לכל הכלים שעולם כדמונים. She says an important rule by כלים. To carry rocks, it's able to have very wide holes on the bottom of this vessel because the rocks are very wide. So therefore, when you have a vessel that has holes that are very wide, that's not considered a vessel. And therefore, it's not subject to any tum'ah. But as she does tell us, that there is a certain hole that's still going to render the keli susceptible to tum'ah. After that size, then already it's considered too big of a hole. What's the maximum shi'ur of a hole that still makes a keli a keli? So that she says the size of a rimon. Rimon, let's say the size of a pomegranate, which means so long as the hole is up to the size of a pomegranate, that's considered still a keli. But anything bigger than that, it's not considered a keli. There's holes in it. So therefore, if it's holding rocks, so the assumption is it's big rocks, and therefore what? The bottom of the vessel's really opened up. So therefore, teorah, it's not going to be susceptible to any sort of tumah, because it's not considered a keli. Because a keli has to have a receptacle, has to have something that can hold things. But this is very, very wide open. So therefore, teorah miklum. It's teorah from everything. Ah, now it comes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'im yesh ba bet kibur limonim, t'me'at ha'memet. But Hanan comes along and teaches, if it has, let's say, the holes that are on the bottom of the vessel, if they're just the size of a rimon, the size of a pomegranate, so the keli still retains its level of a keli, its din of a keli, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to corpse tumah. Now again, it's not going to be subject to midras, because it's not an item that's designated for sitting on. But what do you learn from Rabbi Hanan? So that she tells us, Alma, afal gav v'shil'etz itkash l'sak t'b'ayna mitatem al-kemale v'rekan. Even though we know that wooden vessels, as we learned, are compared in the Torah to sak. And what do we say are the properties of sak? It has a receptacle and it's able to be carried when it's full. So a wooden vessel also. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about a wooden vessel that's carrying rocks. So the implication is what? That it's very heavy. That the only way to probably move this item would be with animals. And still Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that so long as the holes in the keli are not bigger than a rimon, it'll be susceptible to tumah. So what do you see from over here? A wooden vessel that can only be moved by oxen is going to be susceptible to tumah. So we proved our original principle that we started the sugya with. Rabba started the sugya by telling us what? That not only an item that can be moved by a person is considered metaltel, therefore subject to tumah, but even an item that can be moved by what? By animals. Where do we see this from? From the Mishnah in Masechet Kenim, based on the elucidation of Rabbi Yochanan, that said what? That as long as the hole is by the size of a rimon and it's carrying rocks in there, it'll be susceptible to tum'at net. Aye, but it's very heavy. Keli ayetz needs to be carried. You're right. Cannot be carried by a man, but can be carried by an animal. That's considered already enough to make it susceptible to tum'at. So we have proof positive. Now the Gemara continues quoting us the end of that Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. Shalosh Tevot Hen. This is also from the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. Tosafot doesn't know why the Gemara is actually bringing this part of the Mishnah. If you look at the third Tosfot, Shalosh Tevot, he says, Kasheh Lerida Amay Maitila. If it's just bringing it because it's the end of the Mishnah, so the Gemara just wants to quote you a full statement. Which is, there's actually a piece of the Mishnah in between that the Gemara didn't bring down. So the Tosfos says, we're just trying to bring me down the whole Mishnah, it skipped the heavens. So the Gemara leaves that in abeyance. So why is the Gemara actually bringing down this next section? But nonetheless, the Gemara does bring it down. Shalosh Tevotim. There are three Tevot. Tevot literally is like a chest or a box. Okay? Three types of boxes.
Again, we're going to give three different configurations of boxes, and we're going to discuss what tumot are they susceptible to.
Teba shepetcha misida.
You have a box that has a door that opens up from the side. Right? That's a side door. You open it up and you fill it up in the side.
Teme'a midras.
It is tame'a midras. Susceptible to midras. Why? Because an item like this, you could sit on. Why? Because since you're sitting on the top, it doesn't affect the usage of it. Which is normally we learned on different type of vessels, by sitting on it, it affects the usage of it. Like we learned earlier in the Masechet, when a lady or a man who was a Zav would sit on a vessel that they needed to work, they would tell him, "Amod v'na'aseh melachenu." They would tell the guy, "Get up, so we can do the work." And therefore, if that's the type of item where you say, "Amod v'na'aseh melachenu," that shows you it's not designated for sitting. But here, they won't tell the guy, "Amod v'na'aseh melachenu." Why? Because you could do the melacha when he's sitting on top of the box, because you're just filling it from the side. So therefore, again, a teba that has a side door opening, it is considered designated for sitting on, because it doesn't impede the usage of the box when you're sitting on top of it. You can still take stuff out and put stuff in. Therefore, it'll be subject to tumat midras.
Millemala.
But if the door is on the top of the box, so then teme'at tamemet. Then it can only be subject to corpse tumah, but it cannot be subject to midras. Why? Because you can't sit on the top of the box. By sitting on top of the box, you now can't use the box. So they're going to tell the guy, they're going to tell the guy, "Get up, we can't do the work." And it wasn't considered designated for sitting. So it'll only be subject to corpse tumah, which is tameh met. Now, Rashi over here, in the Dibura Matril Teme'at Tameh Met, has a very, very interesting lashon that he has. He actually asks a question, and then he gives the answer. But what's interesting is the way he asks the question in such a strong language, which you don't see too often in Nashi. His question basically is going to be like this. I'll tell you the question outside, then I'll show you his lashon. His question is going to be that we know by Tumat Midras, to be Tameh, it's got to be designated for sitting, or designated for lying down. So he's going to ask that someone claim that to be subject to corpse Tum'ah, it has to be designated for a mit. And he's going to say that that's not so. Any type of keli could be subject to corpse Tum'ah. Midras is a special deen that has to be designated for sitting, but not corpse Tum'ah. But the way he asked the question, so I wanted to show you that inside. You see the first wide line in Nashi. One line above, Yesh Makshin. So Nashi says, Yesh Makshin Hevel al Mishnazu. He says, there's some that ask a question and calls the question Hevel. It's air, it's nothing. Halad Amar Yohanan Perek Bameisha Af Omer Betumat Met. Which they want to say that when it says by Tum'at Med, it also has to be an item that's designated for Tum'at. That's the way he's asking the question. He says, this question, it's hevel, it's air in their mouths, it's wind. Which means he answers the question, he says that for Tum'at Med, you do not need a designation for the only items that are used for dead people. Any vessel, for that matter, can be subject. I just wanted to point out the strong lashon that Ashi brought. In any event, we go to the third case.
V'habba b'mida teora miklum.
What is habba b'mida? A box that is of a great size. Habab midah. Midah literally means a measure, which means the way that she learns it, he says teva gedola. It's a very big box. She'ena metaltelet, where it's not movable. Ve'yesh nachalon milmalo nishtamesh betokan. It has an opening on top. Teora miklum, that she says lemidras lo chazia. He says, well, it's not ra'oy for midras because
you can't sit on it. Because it has a door on top. And for other tumot, for that matter, it's not worthy. Why? Because since you can't move the box when it is so heavy, when it's so full, so therefore it's going to be also teora. Now, it seems that this type of box, the reason why it's teora, only because it's not movable in any capacity, which means it's so big that even you don't bring animals to move this box. Therefore, it's teora. Mashma again, that only because it's not movable at all, implying that if it was movable, even to a certain capacity of animals, then it would be permissible. So basically, that's the Mishnah and Kelim. We have proof positives over here that what? That Kelim that are moved by animals still will be subject to the law of Tumah. Now we go to the Braita. Incidentally, I just want to say over Rashi, why he says, why do they call this big vessel Haba Bimida? An item that is Bimida. Mida literally means a measure. So Rashi says, Kilomar should siricha lamud orka veruhba. It's so big that you have to measure it. Midah is to measure, which means it's such a big keli that, you know, it's not, let's say, discernible how big it is. You have to actually take out a measuring stick to see how big it is. So they would call that a ba'a b'midah, a big vessel that is measured. Comes the braita, Tanu Rabbanan, new subject. Midras keli cheres tahor. If you have a keli cheres, which let's say would be earthenware, and a zav sat on it, the Gemara tells us there is no midras by keli cheres. The law of tumat zav, tumat nida, if they sit on something, has no application by keli cheres. Is a chiddush. The Gemara, we have to substantiate that from pesukim, but that's what it's saying now. Midras keli cheres tahor. Let's read Rashi. Shim yashav alav azav velo naga ba'aviro tahor. Now, we're talking about a case where, let's say, we know the rule of a keli cheres does not become tameh only if tum'ah enters its airspace. Okay, keli cheres mitameh me'aviro. Me'aviro means from its airspace. So let's say you have a keli cheres over here where the lady or the zav sat on it without entering its airspace, which means if it enters its airspace, then we know already it has the regular tumah of keli cheres, which means tumat maga of a, or tumat avir of a regular keli cheres. Anything can mitameh. We're talking about where it sat on it. It sat on it. Normally, sitting of a zav can render something susceptible to tumah. However, a keli cheres is not susceptible to tumat midras. As I said, the Gemara will bring pesukim. That's the first thing. Rabbi Yosef Omer, the Braita concludes, Rabbi Yosef taught afasifina. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, even the boat. Now we don't know what he's talking about. We're talking about over here a keli cheres that a zav sits on. Then Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, even a boat. What are you talking about, even a boat? So the Gemara says, my kamar. What are you talking about? That she says, Ma anyan sifina etzom midras. Which is, what's the connection between a boat and midras? Sifina teora ap mitumat maga. Which means we know, we learned earlier that a boat has no tumah. Which is, even if a zav touches the boat. Right? Didn't we learn derech oniya benev yam? So it's teora miklum. So therefore, what do you tell me? Even a sefina. Then he says, "Ul midras lo hazyara." She says. She says that a boat is also not subject to midras tumah because it's not an item that's designated for sitting or lying on. Rashi's lashon, "Ul midras lo hazyara." That is a big question. What do you mean it's not designated for sitting? Well, don't you stand on a boat? Don't you sit on a boat? And what does that she mean with those last three words when he says "ul midras lo hazya"? Now I understand you want to tell me tumat maga, boat's not going to have. You told me teora, but maybe it'll be subject to midras. No, it's not subject to midras because
It's not designated for sitting.
So the Tosafot on the earlier daf on Begimul Amud Bet Dibura Matchil Nilmedam Misak. We should read that Tosafot together. He says, "Desfina ena miyuchedet lemidras." Why? Af al pi shekol sha'a yoshvim ba bnei adam. Even though they're all sitting on it, mikol makom ikaran asiyot lepragmatia.
Which means the main thing of the boat is to transport merchandise. Which means anytime a person sits down on the boat, what do they tell him? Get up, don't sit on the boxes, we got to go back to work. So technically the boat itself is not considered Omer Lishiva.
Then he says to us,
because what's the point? Let's say a boat was designated for sitting. According to the opinion that learns that the reason why your boat is not tameh is because you learned some sack, right? That just like a sack has to be certain conditions, that well, one of them is that it has to have a receptacle and also has to be carried. This is the boat cannot be carried. But that pasuk of sack is not conditional, is not applicable by midras. Which is that pasuk of sack was only talking about, let's say, other tum'ot, that it needs those qualifications. But for midras tum'ah, it doesn't need those qualifications, which means to be mitameh midras, even if it's a very heavy keli, that you can't carry it, still it's going to be subject to tum'at midras. So the only reason why the boat is not, is because it's not designated for sitting. Why is it designated for sitting? Like those four explained, because it has the merchandise on it, and therefore it's not. But had it been designated for sitting, it would be subject, according to that opinion that learned some sack, it would be subject to tumat midras. One time, the only tum'ah that we learn from sack is other tum'ot. It has to have qualifications. If it's wood, it has a receptacle, it has to be movable when it's full. That's, let's say, for tumat sheretz. However, for tum'at midras, you don't need the qualifications of sack. And therefore, even if it's a wooden vessel that's very heavy, that you can't carry, it doesn't matter. It's still subject to midras. But the boat will not be. Why? Because there's one rule that we all agree that midras has to have. It has to be designated for sitting. The boat, like those ones said, is not. That being said, the Gemara now wants a Maika Amar. Back to our Braita, Rabbi Yosef says, Afa Sefina, even the boat, what is Tahor? Of course the boat is Tahor. Which means, the boat number one is, it's not La'oy L'Midras, as she says, and number two, it's not going to even Shayak to Maga, even touching is not going to be Shayak, because we learned earlier, a boat is Tahor. So what is Rabbi Yosef coming to teach us? Amar Rav Zvid, Hachik Amar. So the Zvid comes along and says, this is what the Braita meant to say. And therefore, this is what the Rabbi Yosef meant to say. Midras keli cheres tahor. Rule number one. Somebody sits on a keli cheres, even if it's designated for sitting, tahor. Earthenware vessels are not subject to midras. Deen number two. Umagao tameh. Now, magao tameh means, but if a zav touches it, that's not midras anymore, that's maga. Meaning, let's say the zav sticks his hand in the airspace of a keli ha'eres, so it's going to be subject to tum'ah. That's not a midras tum'ah, that's tum'at maga. That if he comes in contact with it, yes? Mm-hmm. Now we go to the next thing. Usfina shel ha'eres. But a sifina that's made out of Heres, which is earthenware, let's say, clay, teme'ah, is going to be teme'ah. Like who? Kehananya. Why? So that she says, Bisfina shel heres teme'ah b'maga'ah, a boat that's made out of heres, if, let's say, a zav touches it, the boat will become tameh. Why? That she says, di'alif tama misak. Right, because Hananya's whole reason of a boat being towed is because he learned some sack. Mm-hmm.
Heres, the material heres, that's not one of the items that are subject to the rules of sack. And therefore, if you have a boat that's made out of heres, according to Hananiah, if a Zav touches it, or somebody for that matter, it's Tameh, touch it, it's going to become Tameh. Ah, you'll tell me, what do you mean? Domeh Nesak. No, it's not Domeh Nesak. The rule of sack only applied to wood, applied to goat's hair, applied to leather, but not heres. Ah, you're going to tell me, yeah, but it's in the water. Well, Hananiah's derasha didn't, he didn't have the derasha of Derech Oni Yabelev Yam. His derasha was a boat is still going to be Domeh Nesak. But that's only if it's wood. But if it's heres, it doesn't have to have those qualifications. If, I don't care how heavy it is. I don't care if it's in the water. Bottom line, Rabbi Hananiah is going to say that both of heres will be subject to Tum'ah. Rabbi Yosef Omer, now the Braita concludes and says, and Rabbi Yosef says, Afasefina Teora, even a boat that's made out of heres, Torah. Why? Ketana didan. Like the Tanav HaMishnah that gave the reason of a boat's Torah from Derech Oniya Belev Yam. Once you go with the Pasuk of Derech Oniya Belev Yam, so I don't care. It's any type of boat, so long as it goes in the water, it's going to be Torah. I don't care if it's made out of heres, I don't care if it's wood, I don't care if it's movable. So that's what Rabbi Yosef was saying. The boat was introduced because we were talking about boats now in this Braita, which is according to Rav Zvin, he brought boats into this Braita, and therefore it made the B'yoseh make sense. How do you bring boats? I'll tell you again. The Braita said, Midras kili heres tahor. Guy sits on a kili heres, no midras. But of course if he touches a kili heres, so that's maga, there is maga by kili heres. Usfinashi heres temeah, oh, the boat that's made out of heres is temeah according to Hananiah. Right? Because Chayres is not subject to the cases of Sak, and therefore it'll be Tameh. And Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, Afa Sefina Teorah. He says, even a boat is going to be Teorah. Ketana Didan, like our Tanav, the Mishnah, it says, Derek Oriyam Belev Yam. There's only one problem with this. Matkif Lana Papa, my Af. The word Af doesn't make sense according to this. Because Af means, even this, that would imply that Tana Kama said something is Tehora, and the Biyosef is coming along and saying, not only what you said, but even this. Now if you look at Tana Kama's statement, Tana Kama's statement was, Midras Kili Heres Tahor, right? Well, Midras, that's Tahor, because Kili Heres is not Shayach to Midras. Umagaotameh. Magaotameh, he said that this is not yet, if you touch a Kili Heres, it's going to be Tameh. Now, where did the Hakamim mention anything that is Tahor, that Rabbi Yosef is coming along and saying, not only that, but even a boat. I mean, even a boat. He just should have said, a boat is Teorah according to the Tatana Didan. What did he mean by saying Af? The word even does not have precision. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, my Af Sefina. Al korhach tehora mimaga ka'amar. Now, when he said it's tehora, Rabotai, Rabbi Yosef said the boat is tehora. Tehora from what? Obviously, he's telling me it's tehora from maga, which means when a zav comes and touches it, it's going to be tehora. You don't have to tell me it's going to be tehora from midras, because a boat, as we learned earlier, is not designated for sitting. So therefore, you're telling me that even this is tehora from Maga. Tana Kama didn't say anything else that's Tahor from Maga, that Rabbi Yosef should come along and say, even this is Tahor from Maga. On the contrary, Hakamim said that a regular Kili Heres is Tameh Maga, not a boat. A regular Kili Heres is Tameh Maga. Good. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, yeah, even a boat is Tahor from Maga. Even. Just say, a boat is. What's the even? So the Gemara says, Ela Mara Papa. So the Papa amends the Braita to make sense. And says like this, Haki Kamar. Midras Kili Heres Tahor. That stays the same. Midras Kili Heres meaning the Zaf sits on a Kili Heres and designated for sitting. No Midras Tahor. Umagao Tameh. Fine. But if the Zaf touches it, that's Tumat Maga, it'll be Tameh.
Now we throw a new case in.
V'shele'etz, but if it's made out of wood, ben midraso uben maga'o tameh, right? Because wood is subject to tum'at midras, and therefore, whether the zach sits on a keli of wood or touches, it's going to be tameh. Usfinat hayarden is the key, and the sfinat hayarden teora ketana didan. But the boat of the Yarden, even though it's made out of wood, it's not midras, because not designated for midras. But it's not going to even be subject to maga, because why? Because derech oniya belevyam. So Tana Kama gave a case of a boat being tehora from maga. Now, Rabbi Yosef omes, Rabbi Yosef came along and said, afasifina teme'a. He came the other way. Rabbi Yosef is not coming and saying, no, you should know, the boat, even the boat is Tameh, which is Tanakama. Not only the things that you said are Tameh, which means, Tanakama, you told me what? That it's, if it's made out of wood, this Tum'ah by wood, this Tum'at Midraz by wood, this Tum'at Magah by wood, but not by boats. So the Yosef says, not only by regular vessels of wood is there Tum'ah, but af sefina, even a boat is going to be Tume'ah. Who's that like? Hananya. Going like Hananya, which means Hananya holds that since a vessel that's able to be moved, let's say, even though it's heavy, but it can be moved, so therefore it can be Tume'ah. So why? Because it's only domeh le'sak. And since sak is a movable ma'aleh v'rekan, and a boat, if it's possible to be ma'aleh v'rekan, so therefore it's subject to tum'ah. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef is coming along saying, Tanakama, not only the cases you said are subject to tameh, but af sefina, like who? Like Hananya. So based on the amendment of Rav Papa, the Braita makes sense. Let's review the amendment of Rav Papa one more time. Rav Papa said like this, Midras kili heres tahor. That we're going to prove in a moment. That whatever the Midras sits on, if it's kili heres, tahor. Magao tamet. Fine. Whatever it touches is going to be tamet. Beshed'etz. If it's wood, ben midraso ben magao tamet. Okay. Wooden vessel, subject to Midras, and if he sits on it or touches it. Usfinata yarden, but a boat, I don't care if it's wood, it's not going to be subject to maga tuma. Why? Ketana didan, like our tana. Derech oniya belevyam. Rabbi Yosef omer, af sefina tamea. Even a wooden boat is going to be tameh maga. She's not only regular wood, tanakama, even a wooden boat. Why? Kahananya. Because if a wooden boat can be mitaltel, so therefore it's subject to tuma. Now Rashi tells us over here that there would be another way to learn this braita without having to make such a major adjustment. Let's read the Rashi inside. Rashi dibura matqil usfinata yarden tehora ketana didan. The alit mebelevia lo shina gedola lo shina ketana. Now v'hu adin. See that Rashi? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. V'hu adin nameh. The matzele terutze, Rav Papa could have made this braita viable in another way, and it could have said like this: Usfina shel heres tehora. He could have discussed a sefina of heres, which means, according to Tanakama of our Mishnah, that says derech oniya belev yam, a boat that's heres is not going to be subject to maga. Right? Which means, so the Braita could have said like this. Tanakama says, if a midras sits on a keli heres, tahor. No midras by keli heres. But magao, tamit. Ah, but by a boat that's made out of heres, magao is going to be tahor. Right? It didn't have to go to a wooden boat. You could have kept it like we had above with the Marechayres boat. And then Rabbi Yosef could have came along and said, even a boat of Heres is going to be Teme'ah, which means like who? Like Hananya. And that Braita would have made sense, because Tanakama also gave a case of Magadat Tameh. And the Biosis is coming along to say, not only the case where you brought Magad Tameh, you gave a regular case of Magad Heres Tameh. Right? And Rabbi Yosef is saying, not only a regular case of Magad Heres Tameh, but even a case of a Heres boat will be subject to Magad Tameh. Why did you have to turn it to wood? You could have kept it in Heres, like the Zvid did. So that she just answers, because normal boats are made out of wood. And therefore, since normal boats are made out of wood, so therefore it kept it in wood. But technically, there would have been a way to adjust this Braita even by a Heres boat, and the Braita would have made perfect sense. Now the Gemara has to prove, how do you know that Keli Heres is not subject to Midras? Now we have to prove that a vessel that's made out of earthenware is not subject to Tum'at Midras. Gemara says, Midras Keli Heres minalan de Taor. How do you know that the Midras of Keli Heres is Taor? Gemara says, Amar Haskiya, the Amar Kerak, Zev Pasuk. The ish asher yiga b'mishkabo. Right, it's talking about a zav. It says asher yiga, that he will touch mishkabo, his bed, or the item that is designated for sleeping. So it says makish mishkabo lo. The pasuk makes an analogy between him and his bed, right? Because it's the ish asher yiga b'mishkabo. So there's a connection between the guy and the bed. Mahu itle tahora b'migveh, just like the zav can purify himself in the mikveh, which means during the process of tahara, he's got to go to the mikveh. Actually, Tosfot says it's really not a mikveh. A zav needs what's called mayim hayim. It's got to be a spring. But the Gemara says mikveh over here. It really doesn't mean a mikveh. Literally, it means a mayam. In any event, just like a zav can go to the mikveh. So to the only type of bed that is going to contaminate is a type of bed that can be put in the mikveh. Now we know that a keli heres, the only way to purify a keli heres is breaking it. You can't put a keli heres that became tameh in a mikveh. And therefore we have a pasuk now that clearly tells us that when it says ish asher yigah b'mishkabo, that there's a connection between the zav and his bed, just like the zav himself can purify himself in a mikveh, so to his bed, the only type of bed that he can contaminate is going to be a bed that can be also purified in a mikveh.
Wood
that can be purified in a mikveh. Now what type, to the exclusion of what? And the keli heres bed. If the bed is made out of heres, right, since that type of bed, the only way to purify it is by breaking it, so therefore it's not going to be subject to tumah. So we have a proof positive that tumat midras has no application by keli heres. The Beni B'Yishmael Tana, the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, had a different source. It says the pasukim mishkav niddata. We have a pasuk that says, I'll read you the full pasuk. It's in Vayikra Tet Vav. It says, "Kol haMishkav asher tishkav alav kol yemei zova." This is talking about a lady that's a zava. "Kemishkav nidata yehiyeh," which means if a lady is a zava, so also she has an emission of tumah coming out of her body. So the pasuk, why she has the status of a nida? Whatever she sits on, "Kemishkav nidata," it'll be like if she's a nida. But we're making a connection between what she sits on and a nida. And what do we say? Makish mishkava la. We're making a comparison between her and her bed. Mahi ita tara b'mikveh. Just like a nida or a zava, she goes to the mikveh and purifies herself. Af mishkava. So to her bed. Name ita tara b'mikveh. Similar to Rasha. Only a type of bed that is able to go and dip in the mikveh. La apuke keli heres telet letara b'mikveh. So basically we have two different derashot that are in the same style, that only items that are subject to mikveh tahara will be subject to midras la apuke, to the exclusion of heres. Mativ Rav Elah asked a question. Mapatz b'met minayim. What is a mapatz? Mapatz literally means it's a mat made out of reeds. Look at that sheet, two lines on the bottom. Mapat shel kanim bemet minayim. Now, shehu tameh. How do we know that a mat of reeds? Now, a mat of reeds is not a receptacle. It's just a flat piece of wood like. How do we know that mat is going to be subject to corpse tum'ah? Which means if it comes in contact with a mit, how do we know it's going to be mekabel tum'ah? Now, she says, bottom line, if shematzinu shepeshute kili'etz teorim mitumat magah sheretz. Because we know, let's say, if a sheretz would touch this mat, tahor. Because for sheretz, it needs a receptacle. And since this item is flat over, it's not subject to sheretz. Minayin shekliya ra'ud lemishkav moshav. But since this item is an item that's designated for sitting, right? Mishkav moshav. So the Gemara is saying, once it's designated for mishkav moshav, so how do we know that this item, even though it doesn't have a receptacle, it can be subject to korps tum'ah as well? That's the Gemara's question. How do we know an item that's designated for sitting can be subject to the tum'ah of mit? You'll see that the Gemara is trying to ask a question from this. So the Gemara says, Vidinu. What do you mean? I'll make a kavah homer. And we turn to the Amud Bet. What's the kavah homer? Uma bachim ketanim. Bachim ketanim are small earthenware jugs. Shetehorim bezav. Right? They're not subject to zav tum'ah. Why are they not subject to zav tum'ah? Well, obviously, midras, it's not going to happen. You don't sit on a jug. Okay? So then what about the fact, magah, right? Why do you say tumat magah? Which means, why isn't a pachim ketanim subject to magah zav? How would the zav make it tameh? He would stick his finger, let's say, inside the keli. So that she says, he writes, de'en mitameot ela maviran, on the third line, de'en yachol lechnitz etzba'o letuchan. Says they're so small and narrow that the zav wouldn't be able even to stick his finger inside. Because they're very narrow. So a pach katan, a pheres. Midras doesn't have. Maga doesn't have. Then she says also, tum'at heset, which means if it was lifted up, it's also not going to be considered tamen, as she proves that as well. So therefore, it's not subject to any form of tumah by a zab. And still, timi'im bemet, but still, if you have a keli ha'eres, that's in a tent, let's say, with a met, so the keli ha'eres is going to become tameh. Mapatz shetameh bezab. A mapatz, a mat, that is subject to tumat zab. En odin shiye tameh bemet. All the more so it should be subject to tumat met. Which is if bachim ketarim that is not subject to zab, that is subject to tumat met. This that is subject to zab. Kavahom would be subject to tumat met. So comes the Gemara and says, now why would a mapatz be tameh zab? That she says, the ahazi le mishkav. Right, because she can lie on it. Uchtiv kol mishkav. So comes the Gemara and now asks this question, v'amai. Why is this so? Which means like this: a wooden mat. A wooden mat is not a vessel that's subject to mikveh. Why is a wooden vessel not subject to mikveh? Because the vessels that we learn that are subject to mikveh are the vessels, let's say, that they recovered from Midian. When they went to war against Midian, they brought back certain vessels. Those vessels all had a kli kibul to them. They all had receptacles. They all had, you were able to put something in them. But a regular flat wooden vessel, nowhere do we see in the Torah that it's subject to the law of mikveh. So what are you seeing over here? You're seeing over here going against our rule. We just said that what type of an item is subject to tumat zav? Only items that can go into the mikveh. For example, we said the bed cannot be made out of cheres because cheres cannot go into the mikveh. Now you're telling me over here that a mapatz, that you have a mat that's made out of reeds, it's subject to tumat midras. What do you mean? How can it be subject to tumat midras? A mat of reeds, you don't put in the mikveh. So therefore, the chaura, how could you tell me the rule that you said above, that what? Only items that are subject to mikveh are subject to tumat midras. Here we found your case of a mat of reeds, that's what? It's subject to midras and it's not subject to mikveh, breaks the principle. So the Gemara says, comes the Gemara and says, Amale Rav Hanina can answer it. Shani Hatam, it's different over there by the case of the mat. Ho'il v'ika b'mino. Yeah. Since it's made out of wood, and in the species of wood, you can have a vessel that has a receptacle, so therefore, we use the mean, the species rule, which means you're right, this item itself does not have a klikibu, but it's made of an item that can have a receptacle. For example, a wooden item has a receptacle, for sure it's subject to mikveh. So therefore, even though this wood doesn't, since it's made from the species that potentially can, it's different. As opposed to cheres, cheres doesn't matter. Even if it has a receptacle to it, it's not subject to mikveh. The species itself is never subject to mikveh. That's the Chalila's answer. So the Gemara says, Amar le. The rabbi answers back to Rav Hanina, Rahmana litzlan me'ay data. God save us from this opinion. Which means, how could you say such a thing? Which means, bottom line, the item doesn't have a receptacle to it. Now you tell me the species, no? What are you talking about? God save us from such thinking. So the Gemara says, Rav Hanina answered him back, Adrabah, on the contrary, Rahmana litzlan me'ay didach. God save us from your thinking. So the Gemara is going to explain why. What's the reason? Meaning, where did Rav Hanina get this rule of, you know, if in the species, if in the mean, you can have an item that has a receptacle, so even though if this item doesn't, it's still susceptible. So it says like this. We have two pesukim written in the Torah. Ketiv, one pasuk says, V'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo. That's by a zav. That if the zav touches his bed, b'mishkavo literally would mean over here that it has to be something, let's say, designated for mishkav. Right? It has to be also something that not only is designated, but something that's shayach to go into the mikveh. Right? Because we learned earlier that we're comparing him to his bed. Just like he is subject to mikveh, so to the bed has to be an item that's subject to a mikveh. Right? Mishkabo, lo. We made a comparison to his bed, to him. But we have another pasuk, uchtiv. Uchtiv. V'chol ha-mishkab asher yishkab alav azab yitma. But we have another pasuk that says, any bed that he sits on, it'll be tameh. What do you mean? According to the first pasuk, it sounds like only a bed that's checked to go to the mikveh. The second pasuk says what? Any bed. Kol ha-mishkav. So the Gemara says, ha-ketzat. It says, yesh bimino. If it's made out of the species, that's shayach to go into a mikveh. Afal gav delet le tara b'mikveh. Even though this item itself does not have tarab and mikveh, since it can, so therefore it's going to be subject to tumah. En bimino? Oh, but if it's an item that the species itself is not jack, makish lo. Then in the mishkabo, makish mishkabo lo. Then it has to be like him. Which means the first pasuk that says what? That the mishkabe will be similar to him, that's coming to exclude kilihairis. That this is an item, kiliyayat, that's never going into the mikveh. Oh, but the second pasuk says, any mishkav, it means even though this mishkav itself is not mikvehable, but since it's of the species that can, so therefore, even though this is not, it's a mat, still it's going to be subject to the laws of midrash. So based on these two pesukim, we're going to learn the hiddush of what? mean that yesh b'mino, it's going to be subject. So Gemara says, new answer. Rava Amar. Rava says, Midras kedi chayres tahor me'acha. Rava gives a different source. He says, you know how I know that the Midras of the kedi chayres is tahor? So far we brought two sources. One pasuk was from the Mishkav. We compared Mishkav to the Zav. Next pasuk was we compared the Mishkav to the Nida, which is basically the same derasha. We adjusted it and said not only a wooden bed that has a receptacle, but even a wooden mat, because since it comes from the species that shayach, and we learned that from the pasuk v'chol haMishkav asher yishkav alav, right? Any bed that he sleeps on. Now Rava's going to give a whole different derasha. How do you know that midras is not shayach by heres? So he says from here, v'chol kli patuach asher en samid patil alav. He brings a pasuk of corpse tum'ah in an ohel. What's the law if you have it in a house that has a roof over it, obviously, and you have a corpse in the house? All the kelim that are in the house are going to become tameh from the oil, right? The oil is able to contain the tumah and bring tumah everything that's in the house, including kelim. You have little vessels in the house. However, the pasuk says for the vessels to become tameh, they have to be opened. Pasuk says v'chol kli patuah asher en samid patil alav. So long as the vessel is open and there's no seal on it and cover on it, then it's going to be subject to korps tum'ah. Hayes samid patil alav. Ah, but if it has a seal and it's covered, tahoru. It's going to be tahor. Now let's analyze. What type of vessels are we talking about? We're talking about keli hayres. Okay, we're talking about vessels of hayres. Since hayres only can become tameh me'aviro, so therefore it's got to be opened, but if it's sealed, it's not going to be tameh. That's the rule of the Torah. Now, since the Torah did not limit what type of keli hayres we're talking about, we could even be talking about a keli hayres that was designated for the nida to sit on. Right or wrong, that could be one of the cases of a keli hayres. Let's say you have a big keli hayres that belongs to a lady, and she sits on this keli hayres, therefore it's designated for midras. Is that a possible scenario? Yeah, the Torah doesn't limit it. And what is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us if it has a seal over it, tahor. Now we have a rule. If something is tameh, it does not chotzetz to another tum'ah. Which means, if this keli hayres that was covered, that a nida sat on, if she would make it tameh, right, if you would say that a keli hayres that a nida sits on can become tameh, then this keli hayres with a cover on it would become tameh mitna. Doesn't matter. The cover of a keli hayres only interrupts or interferes with tumat mit because it itself is not tameh. But if it itself was tameh, it cannot serve as an interference. It would even receive tumat mit. From the fact that the Torah tells us any keli hayres that has a seal on it is not subject to tumat mit, that means even a keli hayres that's designated for an idah to sit on is still not going to be subject to what tumat mit, implying what? Because when the nida sits on it, it's not tameh. Why? Because there's no tumat midras by a keli hayres.
Wow. So
wait, that's the proof by. That's the proof by. No, by other items you don't need samid patil. The din of samid patil is only said by hayres. But other items, even if it's there's no one samid patil. So the haitush is, what do you mean? How could you have a case where a nida sat on an item and it's still tahor? It must be that even a keli hayres that a nida sat on, but it was a cover on it, I was designated. I don't care if it's designated for midras. There's no midras by keli hayres. Let's read that's Rabba's proof. Let's read it inside. He says, Rabba amar midras keli hayres tal me'acha v'chol kli patu asher en samid patil alav. Hayes samid patil alav. But if there was a samid patil mean a cover on the hayres, ta'or. Who? Milo askin and the hayidinu le'eshto nida. aren't we talking even in a case where that Keli Ha'edus was designated, let's say, for a wife to someone? We're not limiting the case. Could even a Keli Ha'edus like that, the Kama Rahmana Taor, and still the Torah says Taor must be what, even though she sat on it, it's not Tameh, therefore it can interfere Bishum the Tumahat Mid. Proof positive that what? Keli Ha'edus is not subject to Tumahat Midrash. So then we have three Ra'ayot. Comes the new Mishnah, new point. Minayin la'aruga shehi shisha al shisha tefahim shezur'im betocha hamisha zir'onim dalir al dalid ruhot aruga ve'had be'emsa shene'emar ki cha'eres tosi simha uchgana zir'oeha tasmiyah ki cha'eres tosi simha.
What is this Mishnah talking about?
We have a law in the Torah that says you're not allowed to plant different seeds together in a field. That's called kilayim. Not to mix seeds together. So now we want to know there has to be a certain proximity that the Torah forbade. Which means, obviously, if I plant on one field and then, a mile away another seed, obviously it's not kelayim. So we want to know what's the minimum shi'ur. So the Gemara gives, Mishnah gives an example. Let's say I have a field that is 6 by 6 tefahim, which is a small plot, it's not a field, small area. 6 by 6 tefahim, let's say each tefah is 3 inches. So you're talking about over here, 18 inches by 18 inches. What is the maximum number of seeds I can plant in such a plot without being subject to the Torah law of kilayim? So the Mishnah says you can plant 5 seeds. How? So the Mishnah says on the 4 rows, which is the extreme on the corners on the rows, and then 1 in the middle. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that you're planting 1 seed. That she's going to tell us you're actually planting the whole row, but leaving the corners out. Okay? So let's say you plant, it's 6 tefachim wide, so you're planting all across, right? It's meant to say 4 across, and you leave, 1 tefach on the sides. And then on the sides, right, also you plant 4 tefachim down, the same seed, or different seeds for that matter. You plant 1 seed this way, another seed down, and on the 4 sides. And then in the middle, right in the middle of this box, you plant another seed, 1 seed. It's right in the middle, so it's 3 tefachim away from all sides, equidistant from all the sides. Okay, so technically in this item of 6 by 6, there's a way to plant 5 different items, and the Mishnah proves it from a pasuk. Now we'll see exactly where and from this pasuk do you see. But let's read Rashi. Yeah.
It's 2 tefachim away.
No, if the one in the center is 3 tefachim.
I have a tefach already full.
No, it itself is in the center. So the center is the middle box.
Right. So this is full. This full is only 2.
No, but he can't.
No, 3 tefachim from the last seed. From the seed that's next to it. Look on the outside seed, exactly. Look at that sheet. Look at that sheet. She will tell you. Shizur'in betucha hezir'onim. Look at that sheet. How do you know you can plant in this 6 by 6, 5 zir'onim, 5 seeds? Velo avi erbub. And it's not going to be considered a mixture. Sheyesh b'kadeh lafish b'nim efesh sharoi. Which means you'll be able to separate them. A proper separation. Dalid midal druchot aruga. Memale et kol haruach. So that she cleans and you fill the whole side, samuch lekerem, close to the corner. I mean, you leave the corners open. Ve'had be'emsa gar'in echad, only 1 seed right in the middle. Ve'afal pi shekol etz lekeronot samuchim zela ze'emen harakagim otefachim. Now she tells us a problem over here. The rule is normally when you plant, let's say, a seed, we don't want, let's say, the earth that's underneath the ground to give nutrients to 2 seeds. Now, how do you accomplish that? By placing, let's say, 3 tefachim distance from all the seeds. What happens is, let's say the roots of the seed branch out
let's say 1.5 tefahim. So you're still okay. So long as I have 3 tefahim between each item, so this will branch out 1.5 tefahim. So the earth underneath it of 1.5 tefahim will support it, and the one next to it, 1.5 tefahim will support it. They don't mix. So that she says, yeah, that explains, let's say, the ones in the center. That explains the ones that are on the walls, on the sides. But what about the ones that are next to each other? Which means, exactly, you have, let's say, on one of the sides of the field, right? We said the whole side has seeds. You left the corner a little open, so you left the tefah. But right next to it you have another seed. So diagonally, if you go across, it's within 3 tefahim. So that should be irbub. That should be considered a kelaim, because bottom line, underneath the ground, this is going to move out a tefah and a half, the seed, and this is going to move out a tefah. So bottom line, they're getting nutrients from the same parcel of land. So that she tells us a very important klal in the laws of kelaim. This is a very important klal. He says like this. Let's read it in the let's read that she again. V'had be'emsa, gar'in echad v'afal pi, shekol etz l'keranot semuchim ze laze, even though the ones next to the corners, they're next to each other, ve'en v'nem ha'raka gimel tefahim, they don't have the 3 tefahim minimum in between them, ve'yon kim ze mize, right? And they're drawing nutrients from the same part, en kan bet mihush. There's nothing to worry about. Why? V'gabe kil'ayim, the law of kil'ayim's basis is as following. Hekerahu deba'ina. It just has to be noticeable above ground that they're separate. Even if below ground they are indeed drawing nutrients from the same piece of ground, that's not a problem. So long as when you look at the field, it's evident that they're separate, that's all the Torah was concerned about. What's going on above ground? And therefore, they're not able to move. Right? The Torah was only concerned about kelaim, which is the mixture of the seeds. It wasn't worried about the drawing nutrients from the ground. Which is that she's learning that all these kelaim that we're talking about over here is just my vegetable patch or things like that, which is only rabbinical. But then she says even the Torah law of kelaim, which is let's say grapes, you know, to plant grapes with let's say wheat. That would be considered kelaim from the Torah. Even that kelaim from the Torah, they weren't worried about what's going on underneath the ground. They were only worried about what's going place above the ground. Kiditnan, for example, the Gemara brings a proof. He brings a proof from Baba Batra. Let's say you have two guys that have adjacent fields to each other. So they put up a fence, right, to separate the fields. One guy plants grapes right next to his fence, and the other guy plants wheat right next to his fence. Torah says mutar. Why? For sure, underneath the ground, it's being your neck from the same ground. Doesn't matter. It's evident that this is separate. You have a fence in between. This is on one side. This is on the other side. So you see, even by the Torah law, so long as it's evident, it's not a problem. And therefore, in this case over here, since you have different seeds on different sides, it's evident that what? You're not mixing them together. This is going, you know, north-south, and this is going east-west. So that even though they were thin three tefahim of each other, since they're on different sides of the field, there's no chashash of kilayim. But the one in the middle now is parallel to the sides, to either side. So therefore it's got to be 3 tefahim away. Not because we're worried that it's going to draw from the same field, in the same earth. We're worried because it looks like it's mixed. Because bottom line, it's adjacent to any of the sides. Mashiach and the ones that are going different directions, we're not concerned. We have nothing to worry about. That's the way that she explains the deen of the Mishnah. Now he just writes a little down. V'hamifarish. And those that want to explain out Mishnah. Dalid gar'inim bedalid ruchot. Some wanted to explain out Mishnah that when it meant 5 seeds, it meant 1 seed on each side, not filling the whole row. He writes, he says they're making a mistake if they explain the Mishnah like that. Because the only reason why they would explain the Mishnah like that is that they want to keep the 3 tefahim even on the corners. So he says, if that's the way you explain the Mishnah, then already the minimum should not be 5. The minimum would be 9.
Why? Exactly. Which means yes, but dalid bedalid akiranot, which means you'd be able to put dalid on the four corners, let's say in the middle. Ve'had bechol ruach, the ruach be'emsa'o, which means you could put on the four corners, one, and then one in the middle of each one. Because it'll be three tevachim from each one, plus one in the middle. So you have nine. And that cannot be the pshat of the Mishnah. From the fact that the Mishnah says five, it must mean across the whole side, leaving the corners, and then one seed in the middle. So just comes the Gemara and says, Me'em mashma, but you brought a pasuk, Mishnah. Where in the pasuk was it mashma five seeds? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kicha aretz tosi simha. Now, like the land that will sprout out its simha, its
plant.
Totsi had. Sprout out, bring out, that's one. That's one seed. Simha, its sprout, had. That's another one. So far you have two. Haretrit, that's two. Zeru eha, that's the end of the pasuk. Its seeds, tre, that's plural. So you have four. Harba. Tatsmiyah, which is the last word. Had ha chamisha. So we have a remez from the fact that in that pasuk it alluded to five different seeds. So therefore we learn in the minimum shi'ur, the shi'ur would be five seeds. And tomorrow the Gemara will explain this in the Paruch Anu'al Ya'olah. Amen.